Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Forever Blue Shirts Radio.
Welcome to Forever Blue Shirts Radio. I am your temporary host, Kevin Krupe, the real space earthbender himself. Joining me is Jean-Luc Shapiro. And I don't know if Russell Hartman is here, but he should be here momentarily. John, how are you tonight?
Wow, you really like to puff yourself up, don't you? Hi, Kevin. Russell will be here shortly. He's just running a little late, but he'll be here. And we want to save the new topic that's kind of big news for the Rangers soon. But go ahead, Kevin. Kick off the show.
Well, currently, I think the Columbus Blue Jackets are playing the Boston Bruins. It is a 2-1 lead by Boston in the third. Columbus is up 2-1 in the fourth game tonight. So
it's actually Boston.
No, I'm saying they're up 2-1 in the series. Yeah. So San Jose plays Colorado. San Jose leads that series 2-1 as well. Yesterday we had Dallas tie that series at home against St. Louis. They are now 2-2. Zouk with 3 goals, 6 assists, and 9 total points in this playoffs. How do you think Zuccarello has, acclimated to the Dallas Stars, especially since he lost so much time breaking his arm in the first game? And he scored 2 goals in that game.
Well, it just goes to, just to say how good of a player Zuccarello was, and everyone else in the NHL, especially the Dallas fans, are really seeing how special a player he was for the Rangers. I mean, just with some of the interactions I've had with some Dallas Stars fans on Twitter, they just love the guy, and they totally understand why we were so downtrodden when we traded him. Obviously, it was done for good reason, but now they're really starting to see why the Rangers and their fans really love this guy. And, as a longtime Ranger fan, all three of us, remember the Rangers picking him up in 2010 and him finally making the team not too long afterwards, and the ceremonious chant of Zouk would go up, and hearing the Dallas Stars fans say that just kind of put a tear in my eye a little bit. But Zuccarello's just been nothing but fantastic. I mean, he's just been a bull out there for Dallas, and I honestly think he's been a spark plug for that team, along with guys like Roope Hintz and Miro Heiskanen and Jason Spezza's having some kind of second, wind resurgence. Always been a phenomenal player. So, it's good to see, the fruits of a Rangers labor helping out another team who needs it. And, the better they do, not only is it better for Zuccarello and the Dallas Stars, but it's also good for the Rangers if Dallas ends up winning that series, because then the picks end up becoming better in terms of the conditions. So either way, this is a plus-plus for Dallas Stars fans and New York Ranger fans. So I am really happy to see him doing well in Dallas.
Well, that's all we wanted, because another condition on the trade, of course, is the third-round pick that we got from Dallas for next year in the 2020 draft becomes a first-rounder if Zuccarello re-signs with Dallas next season. Now, I am strongly thinking that's a possibility. I always thought it was like a long shot. Oh, we got a third-round pick and possibly a first for Zuccarello. It was never my idea that he was automatically going to sign with them. But Jim Montgomery, the head coach for the Dallas Stars, has a press conference last night, and he's telling the story. It's like, Zuccarello turns to him with a big smile on his face. He says, "Coach, calm down. We're trying to have some fun. We're 4-1. And one of the reporters goes, "Well, did you calm down?" He's like, "Yeah, I kind of did." And I thought that was great, because Zuccarello, that's why, as bad as it sounds, not bad, but just sad that Zibanejad was so sad when they traded Zuccarello. Like, he's the new Zuccarello. Now all his friends are getting taken away from him. So, Zuccarello is like you said, the spark plug to a team. Like, even if he doesn't score, he makes plays, he gets dirty, he's not afraid to throw the body at 5'6", or is he 5'8"? Either way, he's tiny for a hockey player.
Well, another thing about Zuccarello, real quick, and I don't mean to interrupt real fast, but you also have to remember, you know, he's a character guy. He's a very quiet guy in person. You know, he seems to be kind of, you know, put together, you know, well kept, doesn't say much, you know, outside of the interviews. But from all accounts, from guys like Kevin Hayes, Derek Stepan, even Keith Yandel, and a couple of other guys who played for the Rangers, you know, you hear them on different podcasts and different, you know, outlets and whatever. And they say Matt Zuccarello is like the jokester of the team. And, you know, a guy like that in a very big playoff time like this for Dallas, especially them not making it in 3 years, you can tell that his influence alone is impacting this team because they just seem so loose out there. Granted, you know, they're not going to win every game, but you can tell they're playing at a high level and they seem to be comfortable, you know, with each other. And, you know, I could just imagine Zuccarello just being a riot in the locker room for the Dallas Stars because, you know, that's just the character that he is. And you can tell his presence was missed here once he traded him. And the thing, I'll tell you this, I went to a game just shortly after Zuccarello was traded, and you know, Mika Zibanejad and Matt Zuccarello had this habit of being the last two guys out on the ice for warm-ups. And before and after the game ends, too, after a win.
Oh,
and
I know what you're doing that.
Yeah, and so it was always like when I would see them there, they were just like broing out near the gate. And, you know, Zibanejad would do this thing where he'd be the last one on the ice. He'll take the puck and he'll shoot it down the other side of the ice during warm-ups. And then at the end of the game, if they were to win, they would be the last two ones there giving each other high fives. And I remember seeing Zibanejad go to the door, take the puck, throw it into the other team's net before the warm-ups ended. And I just look, it just looked so sad because he was just there by himself. And
even if Zuccarello was hurt, or maybe he was off the ice. Because now you know it's like, oh, Zuccarello isn't coming back. And it's the worst feeling because of this condition. It's like, we can't really say we want him back because we're basically saying we don't want a first-round pick. Even though you can make even though he didn't get traded for a first-round pick, he really did get traded for two first-round picks if you want to look at it that way. But is Zuccarello worth the first-round pick in your mind? Maybe.
Absolutely.
What he brings to the Stars, you can make an argument for him being a first-round pick.
And I guess the Dallas Stars didn't want
to give up the first-round pick outright, but look, they're getting a bang for the buck for him. And, you know, that's Jeff Gordon gambled on Matt Zuccarello's personality, his play style, and just thinking his overall likability for the team, and they're all going to want him back. Like, unless he is having existential crisis and he goes to, you know, Calgary or Toronto and signs these deals here or there, I could see him signing with the Dallas Stars again.
And you know what, too? Yeah, when you look at the way the Dallas Stars are constructed, you look at a lot of their high-end players like a Jason Spezza. Yes, to many, he is not, but he is still a phenomenal player for the Dallas Stars. He's playing well in the role that he's currently in right now. You have Tyler Seguin, you have Jamie Benn, you have the previously mentioned Miro Heiskanen, you also have John Klingberg. So the team has a lot of high-end talent, and one of the things that I guess you could say Dallas was looking for and they kind of lacked in the last couple of years outside of Anton Roussel was kind of that skill on the bottom end, and you can see it starting to come to fruition with guys like Roope Hintz and guys like Matt Zuccarello. So, you know, when you look at both teams, the New York Rangers and the Dallas Stars, yes, you know, for, you know, our sakes, our emotional sakes at least, because, you know, at least a lot of us root for other teams in the New York metropolitan area that don't exactly help us out. So, you know, for our sakes, at least for fans, we would love to see him back here, but the future of the team, it's not beneficial. He's up there in age. He is on a decline, unfortunately. You know, he's not the same player he was in 2014. And, you know, it just doesn't fit with the dearth of young players, especially the one that they just recently traded for, and the potential of getting bringing Kratzoff over, and a potential of bringing, like, a Kaapo Kakko or a Jack Hughes. I always have to preface both now because you just never know
what
they're going to do. But anyways, I digress.
They did pull the Heister move a couple of years ago instead of taking Nolan Patrick first overall, right? Devils had first overall.
Patrick.
You know.
Well, I mean, Patrick was number two, and Heischer was number one.
That's the thing. It's not as clear cut as it was this year or last year.
Yeah, it's not as clear cut.
But a lot of people were assuming that Patrick was going to go first because it looked like it fit their play style more. So, yeah. But, you know, and they make the surprise. It's like, but this isn't one of those situations. Jack Hughes is a generational talent. Capo Caco is also a generational talent. It's just
absolutely. So
Hughes,
so either way,
Hughes is like
either
elite
way,
level one, and Capo is elite level two, and it's really like that difference, and that's it. But just,
exactly.
Not to cut you off. I just know Russell's going to want to talk about Dallas to a certain extent. So let's shift it to the current game going on. Right now it's 3-1 Boston with about 4 minutes left to play. So you are Jeff Gordon. You are watching this Columbus Boston game. You know there is one player on the ice right now who you have your eyes set on, and that is Artemi Panarin. You look at this series and you see how Columbus is constructed, you know, the contracts that are going to be up at the end of the season. Do you feel like if they keep going, they make it to the Eastern Conference Finals, they could potentially make it to the Stanley Cup playoffs, they could win the Stanley Cup playoffs? I mean the Stanley Cup final. Do you see that Panarin resigns, or do you go harder at him, or do you still keep pat with what you wanted to throw at him in the first place?
That's a good
really
question. That's actually a really good question because honestly, you don't really know. I mean, you can't really tell a player's mindset just from a playoff run. I mean, you could say the same about, you know, different instances and other, you know, examples, which I, for some reason, I can't come up in my head right now. So my apologies that a team playing so well. Yeah, thanks. A team playing so well that, you know, the player tends to reconsider, because if you look at the way Panarin was talking, at least at the beginning of the season, when it came to like a contract extension, whatever, it just didn't really seem like he wanted to come back to Columbus. And my thing is, you know, all the reports seem to kind of stay the same. There's no like report coming out change of camp, but then again, they also said, you know, they're not going to really discuss it. So you don't really know, but to me, I still think he's going to try and chase the money. And if you're Jeff Gordon, or at least if I'm Jeff Gordon, I'm still going to try and see, maybe as the playoffs go on, maybe you offer him a little more, because, you know, with Joel Quenneville going to Florida, you know, maybe he will entice management to spend a little more with Dave Talon, mm-hmm. you know, as his GM. So, you know, I mean, it all really depends. We don't really know what can happen until the day of. So I honestly think that the Rangers will stand pat, and they might give a little more, but I don't think they're going to offer a real absurd contract. And I don't think Panarin's going to stay, because if he does, then it's kind of, you know, mixed signals kind of thing. And he's the type of guy that wants to, you know, play for a contender. Not that Columbus isn't a contender, but, you know, if you had a chance to play in Columbus in New York, I mean, I'm not trying to put down the city of Columbus by any means whatsoever, but New York seems to be a bigger ticket destination, and anyone from Columbus will tell you that. So it's nothing against Columbus. They're a fantastic hockey city. It's just that a guy like Panarin wants to, I guess, play in a bigger spotlight, you know, and there's no fault to him. You know, he has every right to want to do
that. There really isn't, and he could be that leader that, you know, it always seems like Panarin was just that side kind of guy when he was in Chicago, because you had Taze and you had Kane there, and he was, you know, third fiddle to them, essentially. And then he goes to Columbus, and, you know, Columbus doesn't really play the way he wants them to play. They just won their first playoff series defeating Tampa Bay, which no one thought was going to happen. And we'll talk about how crazy it is all four wild cards made it. But it's just another thing. It's just, you know, does Panarin want the tax-free money in Florida, which could potentially be what he really is after? Or does he want to look at a team that's young, that's, you know, he might take a year or two more to really get into contention and lead by example? Because, you know, you have guys coming in that he could fit with immediately. But it depends. So on that note, JL, unless you had something else to add.
Well, I would like to add one more. I would like to add one more just thought to that. Quick, it'll be brief, because I know we're going to get to, you know, something real quick. I see something here that
we have to talk about really quick, but
yeah, that's true. But just real quick on Panarin and his mindset. You know, it just seems to me that he doesn't see a real future in Columbus, you know, with just the way the coaching staff is and the way everything's kind of set up. And even though they're a phenomenal organization, I really think he wants to go somewhere where he can thrive in a bigger market. And even if he has to take less money to go there, or at least maybe a drastic change, not a drastic change, but kind of a similar, smaller change in the contract, I think he'll do it. And I think if the Rangers were to offer him a deal he couldn't refuse, of course, you know, coming from New York and whatever, you know, a deal he can't refuse, you know, I think he can look past
and
just big money from – Yeah, he could look past big money from, like, a Panthers team. And you know, because the Rangers have pull. You know, Sean Avery pretty much said it himself in one of an appearance on a podcast, is the Rangers are a draw, and players are attracted to that.
Yeah. So, well, it's original 16. Why wouldn't you want to play for the Rangers? It's the same thing with the person that we're going to be talking about in a few minutes once Russell comes, because I know he's going to want to talk about him. It's like, why
do
you think
he's here?
Here?
You want to introduce him? I think he's
Russell's here. Is Russell
Russell's here?
Here,
yeah. Yes, he is.
Russell,
go ahead, introduce him.
Well, we got Russell Hartman, editor for Forever Blue Shirts, the host of Forever Blue Shirts Radio, who I'm taking the chair in for today. Russell, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm doing good. How are you both doing?
Doing very well, sir. I'm glad you're here.
Simply wonderful,
your voice.
My friend.
What'd you say, Joe?
Well,
I said simply wonderful.
Yeah, no, everything's good. I mean, you know, it's been a good few days. Things keep looking up for us, huh? I mean, we got another Hobie Baker winner joining the team, who is exactly who I want to talk about right now. Now,
well,
to give everyone some preface, I apologize that I am not hosting this week. I know everyone misses me. I know it's very strange not to hear my voice right after JL welcomes you to the show. I apologize. I'm currently busy doing stuff music-wise, but I'll promote that another time. But anyway,
yeah,
I hope you're enjoying Kevin's hosting duties.
Do your own promotional horn some other time, Russell.
I hope you're enjoying Kevin's hosting duties, and I already know you're enjoying JL, which who doesn't enjoy JL's voice?
Lots of people. Lots of people don't enjoy me, but hey, if you guys like it, that's all I care about.
Women don't enjoy it. I don't enjoy it. You know.
Wow.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, no,
thanks
okay.
A lot.
It's fine. But so, Russell, now that you're here, joining us, gracing us with your presence.
Mm-hmm.
How wonderful is it that we traded for and signed the next big defensive prospect in Adam Fox?
Mr. Adam Fox. All right, so I have
Mr.
a few thoughts
Adam
on Adam Fox.
True
so I have a few thoughts
true
on this.
Rangers fan himself.
Now, for those who don't know, Adam Fox has been rumored to be coming to this team for about literally since when Calgary drafted him, it seems. Back way back, I think, what was it, 2015, I think? Something like
2015,
that. Anyway,
I believe.
Yeah. So Fox has been rumored to be coming here for years and years now. Wouldn't sign with Calgary. Didn't sign with Carolina. Basically forced his way here. Now, you know, some people might look at it as, oh, you know, the kid should play where he's drafted. But he's just using the loophole that the NHL has provided college free agents. This is what they can do. If you can't get them signed, they have a choice. So I don't see any harm in doing what he's done. Other college free agents have done it. Alexander Kerfoot did it to the Devils 2 years ago. It happens. So for anyone giving the kid flat because of that, don't do it. He's just doing exactly what the system allows him to do. But now back to the player who we're getting, right? I mean, think about this. You're getting a defenseman who is one of only four college freshmen defensemen since like the 1980s to ever average 0.85 points per game. The Rangers have two of them as prospects right now, Fox and Miller. Now, you think about the trajectory of these kids, right? You see Adam Fox, this kid, you know, Hobie Baker finalist, has one of the highest scoring defensemen in the country over the past 4 years. The only defenseman, I think, oh God, at least since the 70s, Grinnelli from Spit and Chiclets posted this great tidbit on Twitter about him that he's, I think, one of the only defensemen in college hockey to ever average a point and a half per game, and he did that during his junior season, I believe, junior sophomore season. He's a ridiculous player. And when you get the chance to add a player like this, you take it. And Jeff Gorton has done nothing but good move after good move after good move. And now you look back to February of 2017, there was no Keandre Miller. There was no Adam Fox. There was no Vitali Kravtsov. There was no Kaapo Kakko. And in just over a year, all these players are going to start coming in and gelling at the same time. And, you know, you're getting all these prospects on the call. Jeff Gorton has done a bang-up job, boys.
So, Russell, or JL, if you want to take this, because Russell loves talking about Adam Fox, so let's not give him everything at once. So now that Adam Fox signed that 3-year entry-level contract, that means he still can make the roster out of camp. What is the likelihood that he actually does?
100%.
What is 100%. The likelihood that 100%. He's
going
to make the roster?
Now, Russell,
absolutely he's
since
make
you're
the
first
are you
person to answer.
I mean... Well, first of all, let me straighten out some things here from stuff that you said, because I want to make sure that we got it right here. So Adam Fox was drafted by the Calgary Flames 66th overall in the 2006 NHL entry draft. His rights were traded to Carolina in that big trade with Dougie Hamilton and Michael Ferland going one way, Elias Lindholm and Noah Hanifin going the other way. Now, the stat that you're talking about from Mike Grinnell from Spit and Chicklets is Adam Fox is the only defenseman in college hockey over the last 20 years to average over a point and a half per game. And then he averaged 1.45 games in 2018-19. So he essentially rounded it up. He has 48 points in 33 games. Now, you're going to tell me that that's not NHL material right off the bat? Come on. I mean, if Colorado...
You didn't even let me ask my question, though.
Well, no, I know. I'm just clearing it up. I'm not trying to argue here. I'm just trying to clear up the stat. That's all.
I'm not trying to start argument either. But look, this is the case here. There's some people who believe that this is the third best defensive prospect in the world behind Cale Makar and Quinn Hughes. And when you have the, like,
which
this
is
a kid.
It's a valid argument.
Absolutely. What are you trying to get at?
I'm trying to get at, you have to look at this logjam in front of him. It's not
Kevin,
it's
it
not
doesn't matter.
It
doesn't matter that there's a logjam, though. He will beat that logjam. He is that good.
Don't get me wrong. Neil Pionk is not going to be here anymore. This Frederick Claesson, he played a surprisingly well defense for the Rangers this past year. He's not coming back. And then you have to re-sign Tony D'Angelo. It's just there's a lot of things, especially with all of these new prospects coming in. We're projecting you have Kaapo Kakko. Kratsov is going to sign an extension once he comes to the United States. You want to go after Artemi Panarin. You know, you're having all these contracts, and you have to get rid of these guys one way or another. If you're Jeff Gordon,
and they will. And
if you're Jeff
the
Gordon,
thing
you
is,
have
you,
to get
you have
rid
to
of
remember
terrible
here,
contracts on
dude,
defense.
I guarantee you right now, David Quinn, when he's already thinking about his lineup next year, has Adam Fox penciled into at least the second pair right now. Because he's probably going to be playing there.
Which makes sense. We're still in a rebuilding. You can have him in the first pair for all I care.
Yeah, but I wouldn't throw him to the Wolves right off the bat. Let him get his feet wet, and then you can move him up if you really want. And, I mean, if this kid hits the ceiling, he will be a first pair.
That's the whole point. He's going to prove himself. Yeah. He's going to end up being on the first pair at the end of the year.
I mean, logistically,
if we
want this all to work in our favor, which things have been recently, I mean, we're trending towards a Carolina-Columbus Eastern Conference Final, which is I can't believe it, but that's a story for another time. But basically, everything has been coming up Rangers recently. You know, you get the second pick in the lottery, you get the chance to get Fox. Winnipeg loses early. Dallas looks like they're going to make the Western Conference Final. You know, if the hockey gods keep smiling on the Rangers and you want like a perfect scenario 2-3 years from now, then our first pair for the next decade, our Duncan Keith and Brent Seabrook should be Andre Miller and Adam Fox, and they should be. And then, and if they project the way they project, no one is going to be able to score goals when those two are out on the ice together. Because you're talking about DeAndre Miller. He's 6'4" and growing, apparently. He's going to be 6'5". He's adding on more muscle. And you got this guy in Fox, who's one of the best offensive defensemen, you know, prospects in years. It's going to be something special if those two hit their ceilings, for sure.
Might I interject if
no.
You don't mind?
Absolutely, go ahead.
I have to be courteous since I'm one of the least tenured here. So I understand what you're saying, Kevin, in terms of having a little bit of a logjam. But, you know, I want to say there was a quote from Gordon the other day, or at least it was hinted at. I think Ant may have talked about it, or it might have been included in one of the posts. It's escaping me right now. I'm trying to look it up as I go along. But I think it's been hinted that, you know, with this trade of Fox, which I am absolutely 100% for, I think this is fantastic. You know, you have extra defensemen on the roster. You have Neil Pionk, Tony D'Angelo, you know, Brendan Smith, Mark Stahl. So it's been hinted that there's going to be some sort of a buyout or a trade. And to be frank, you know, I think that Gordon is savvy enough to pull off a trade for extra assets in terms of a pick, getting rid of a defenseman. You know, the fact that everybody thought Adam Fox was going to end up becoming the Tampa Bay pick. Everybody thought the Adam Fox trade was going to involve a first or at least that second, but it ended up turning out to be two different picks, which is, you know, fantastic either way.
Well, these are two different picks that you can make an argument about. So if you look, the Rangers still have a pick in every round for the next 3 years, barring Zuccarello doesn't sign with Dallas, and that becomes a first-round pick for 2020.
So it's expendable,
so
then, regardless of whatever happens.
These are expendable picks. Exactly. We got picks in, and everybody's complaining, oh, a third-round pick, a second-round pick's not good enough. But now you have these picks all over the board now. It's not just the same spot. You're going to be able to trade. Who's to know we're not going to get more picks either during this draft or during
exactly.
the trade deadline, depending on how they're going to be. Jeff Gordon has done an A-plus job, and next year, if he's not – is it executive of the year, GM of the year, whatever the trophy is, if he doesn't get it, I think that's just ludicrous. He took this team from basically the cellar, where he had to tell the fans in a letter, we're going to do better. They're going to sell people off, and we're going to be as clear and honest as possible. And he's delivering. Even if we don't see it on the ice, he's creating a prospect pool that we haven't seen since when? Like, this looks like
we've basically
like
gone from having a consensus bottom five prospect pool for year after year after year to having arguably a top three prospect pool in the entire league. And Jeff Gordon did that in a matter of a year and about 3 months.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
you
incredible.
Have to look at most of these guys are
absolutely
NHL ready.
Incredible.
Well, most of these guys are either a year
yes
away
no.
or NHL ready.
I mean,
no,
honestly,
I completely
out
agree.
Of all the players that out of all the players he's acquired, I think the two further, I mean, from the past few years, I'm talking the big prospects like the Millers, Hedels, Andersons, the two furthest away are probably Miller and Lundqvist, I would say.
Which isn't a problem at all.
No, and I think it's going to be 2 years before we see both
of
them.
Mentioned.
What'd you say?
I said because of the contracts we have, it's better that they actually wait a little
oh,
bit.
Oh no, I agree. And it also we don't have to worry about protecting them in the expansion draft either, which is also really good.
Which is fantastic.
Also, Fox is
potentially
expansion draft exempt.
Can you repeat that, Russell?
What I said: Fox is expansion draft exempt. Kaka will be. Everyone from this draft is exempt from the expansion draft. For people that didn't
yeah,
know, I feel like that's an important point to make.
Entry-level contract.
Kratsov.
Oh, yeah, Kratsov is not – he's not expansion. We don't have to protect him. Same thing with Shesterkin. We won't have to protect him either. They're all signing their deals this year, which means they'll be protected in 21.
So, honestly, if you really think about it, you look at some of the players that the Rangers might have, and, you know, even if they end up having to carry a guy like a Mark Stahl or even a Brendan Smith, mind you, fourth-line left winger Brendan Smith, if they have to carry him, then – I mean, I'm not entirely sure if Brendan Smith's contract has that kind of clause in it where he can be protected by it. I assume it does, but either way, maybe
yeah.
they could swig some kind of deal if they still have him or not. But either way, the point that I was trying to get before is that with the shrewdness that Jeff Gordon has shown over the last 18 months, again, Russ, you alluded to it, the fact that this guy essentially turned this system into arguably probably one of the top 10 systems in all of hockey, farm systems in all of hockey – out of nothing, so that, you know, what makes you think that he won't be able to move a bigger piece like a Stahl or a Smith or even get a trade for Pionk? I know everybody loves Neil Pionk except for one of our other contributors on Forever Blue Shirts. And Neil Pionk is a fine player, and I don't want to say his name unless he wants me to. He's a great guy, by the way. I have nothing against him, but he really does not like Neil Pionk. And that's fine. Everyone's entitled to their opinion, but he's wrong. Kidding. But Neil Pionk is a solid depth player for this team. And honestly, I kind of want him to be
Neil
like the
Pionk
extra.
Neil Pionk is a poor man's Adam Fox.
Well, hey,
that's
listen,
what he
I'd
is.
Rather I'd rather have a poor
no,
man's
that,
Adam
that.
Fox than a poor man's Michael Roosevelt, okay? And I love Rosie, okay? But
are you talking about Stanley Cup champion Michael Roosevelt?
Yes, Stanley Cup champion of the Chicago Blackhawks, Michael Roosevelt. So,
Stanley Cup
so,
champion,
by Roosevelt? The way, we literally gave up nothing to get Neil Pionk. We didn't even give up a draft pick
they
in
just
the late
signed
round.
Him.
Look, okay. I want to set this straight. Neil Pionk will work fine. I agree with Gerald. Neil Pionk is fine as a third pair defenseman. Fine. He needs to work
like
on his stuff on his own end, but in the third pair, fine. He's not a first pair defenseman. That's crazy. That should not happen anymore. This season,
so,
I mean,
well, that
actually,
being said,
here's my question to both
said,
of you.
He's also still 23 years old, playing NHL minutes on a really bad team, by the way.
He's got time to mature.
Look,
I hear you.
So, Jay, what are you trying to get at? I apologize.
So, no, that's fine. You know, that's what we're here for. So, what I'm trying to make is this. If a team comes and tells you, hey, I'll trade you for Neil Pionk, So you're essentially getting an asset for a guy you got for nothing except for giving out
currency.
Yeah,
I would do it. I would
okay.
Explore,
so
with the arrival of Fox, you don't need Dion
zero with NHL world.
And honestly, I really think Tony DeAngelo is somebody this team should really keep on this roster, because if you look at a lot of the numbers on Tony DeAngelo, it seems like he generated a lot of offense for this team, and he was a stalwart on defense and allowed this team to be creative. And I've been saying since they traded for him, I've been saying it and yelling it. I was upset when they sent him to Hartford. I guess he needed it because he came back. He came back and he was just absolutely phenomenal, and he hasn't gone down since. And you know, he's feisty. You know, granted, his off ice,
he likes to drop the gloves every once in a while.
Yeah, like his off ice antics may not be how you say kosher to many people, you know, at least in the organization. But as long as he's not going out and committing murder and not doing anything heinous, you know, anything
or
that's
up
considered
cab
to
drivers for like 10 cents.
Or being debaucherous in any way whatsoever, then you keep him. You know, as long as his team likes him and he's able to play, you keep him there. And honestly, think he's a perfect second pair D for this team. Honestly, if you're gonna do D pairs for next season, honestly, you stick him with Kevin Shattenkirk, because you know they're not gonna trade Shattenkirk. As much as they could allude to it, they're keeping him next season. And honestly, there's a better chance for Brandon Smith to get traded. So again, the point I'm trying to make again is they have the potential to make some very shrewd trades. The overload on defense is a good problem, because then it causes, if you're running into a training camp with an overabundance of defensemen, then you can say, okay, well, let's say if I'm Neil Pionk, and let's just say figuratively speaking, this is not going to happen. Let's just use a hypothetical. So let's say you're Neil Pionk, and you're going to camp, and you have Adam Fox, Tony DeAngelo. Let's just say Keandre Miller's ready. Okay, he's not. I know he's not. Nobody jump on me for this. But, you know, Libor Hayek, you have to remember him too. He's also phenomenal. You Brady Shea, you know, Brendan Smith, Mark Stahl, Kevin Shattenkirk. And maybe they sign someone. Yeah. Erik Karlsson. So let's just say they have this dearth of defensemen on the team, and you're Neil Pionk. You decide, I got to step my game up. You do that. Teams see that. Jeff Gorton goes, you want this guy? Sure. You get an asset for it. There you go. You just kind of fixed your problem, kind of, sort of, in a sense.
You're right.
So,
and
you know, with the way they develop players in the Rangers, it's not a bad idea.
I see what you're saying. And
Adam Fox,
I mean, ultimately,
go on, Russell.
Before I make my leave, I would like to just point out something.
Leave.
He's
I didn't stay for long, but I'll make sure I get one of my points.
He's a one and done.
Before I have to leave.
Use them.
If the Rangers rebuild now, this is purely projection, but based on what these kids have been doing, you know, you can see what Adam Fox has done in his collegiate career. You see what Keandre Miller is on pace to do in his collegiate career. You see that, you know, what Nils Lundqvist is doing over in Sweden. I mean, the guy won a Rookie of the Year award over there. He's playing top minutes as an 18-year-old over there. He's a very good player. And you have tack on someone like Hayek, and you still have Brady Shea. I mean, you have the makings of a really, really solid defense core there, full of, like, you have size, you have puck movers, you have guys that know how to take it to the net. You know, it's kind of an embarrassment of riches right now. And, you know, what JL's saying about Neil Pionk, how guys are going to have to earn their spots. Guys are really going to have to earn their spots because, you know, Tony D is a very good player. He showed it this year on a shitty team. Sorry for the cursing, but they were not that good this year. And, you know, on a team playing as bad as they did this year, Anthony DeAngelo stepped up, and he played a really pivotal role for this club. Now, decisions are going to have to be made. And honestly, if these guys hit their ceilings, Gordon's going to have a lot of capital to make some more trades with. And I think that before you know it, I mean, I think this team makes the playoffs next year based on these acquisitions and if these prospects pan out. I think we see the playoffs.
It's a good chance.
You know,
it's not
people
uncalled.
Keep saying, you know, rebuild, retool, whatever it might be. But I think that, you know, you could be on the way to contention a lot sooner than people think with this team.
Yeah, I definitely agree, but it's just it's one of those things that you have to taper your expectations. And what we talked about today, Russ, you have to taper your expectations. Like as exciting, as intoxicating, as just unbelievably like this great feeling that we have of how good this next year could potentially be.
You have to remember it's all potential right now.
most of these guys are under the age of 23. Most of these key pivotal players are under 23. Also,
an important point to make here as well. I feel like this is really important to make note of here is that, remember, Kaapo Kakko is going to be moving here from Finland, away from his home country. Vitaly Kravtsov is going to be moving here, you know, away from Russia. And all of these prospects from around the world, eventually when they get here, remember, these are kids. They're used to having their family support systems. They're used to, you know, they're always around their same teammates. You know, they're used to what, where they're from and their, you know, their customs and things like that. When they get over here, you know, I know Rangers Twitter likes to get crazy about a lot of things, but remember, if Kaapo Kakko doesn't have 20 points by Christmas, like, don't destroy the kid. Once
there's
he acclimates, same thing with Vitaly Kravtsov, give them some time. It's going to be a little bit of a culture shock for them. It's going to be, you know, smaller ice surface for them. It's going to take them some time. So I really don't want to see those takes, like, halfway through the season that we drafted all bust, because that's not the case. It's just a case of, remember, what were you doing at 18 or 19 years old? It's going to be a big change for these kids.
And we're in the very strong media oriented area where they are
the understatement of the century
all the time. You can make the case for Kevin Shattenkirk. You can make the case for Brendan Smith. You can make the case for literally any free agent that came here for the first time, and they could be United States born. They could be born in New York. They could be used to the lights just generally, but then they come to the New York Rangers and they have a hard time adjusting right away. And these are grown veterans. So you can't – these kids probably – they probably do speak English, but not very well. They know absolutely nobody when they're coming here. They're going to have to talk with these guys who they've never talked to before. And it takes time. So like I said, you have to taper your expectations. And before you go, Russell, I know you're on your way out. Adam Fox being traded to the New York Rangers, the likelihood of Erik Karlsson getting signed by the New York Rangers goes down by how much, like percentage-wise?
It definitely went down. I can't give you a crazy percent, but the chances definitely went down.
I mean, likely, very likely, unlikely, didn't move, it's pretty much not coming.
I think that especially with the article in The Athletic this week that was showing that, you know, it was basically suggesting that Karlsson might want to come to New York to play with his friend Henrik Lundqvist. I mean, that's very true. But, I mean, if you acquire a top-end puck-moving prospect like Adam Fox, I mean, I ultimately think that Gorton is going to want to see what he has in that and what the potential is in someone like that before. And, I mean, at that point, you're probably not going to get Karlsson. So, I mean, it's going to come down to Jeff Gorton deciding in July if he wants to bank on Fox's potential, or if he's like, okay, I really want to accelerate this. I want to bring in Karlsson, and we'll figure the rest out as it goes along. But ultimately, I just think that this whole thing, acquiring Fox like this, just is more showing that they're going to target Artemi Panarin. But we'll see what happens come July. But to answer your question, Kevin, yes, I think the likelihood of getting Karlsson went down, because I don't think you acquire someone like that unless you have kind of a, I don't want to say bigger plan, but a different plan in mind, if that makes sense.
No, it makes perfect sense.
Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on, guys. Have a good rest of the show.
Thank
Alrighty,
you, sir,
Russell.
And we look forward to
thank you
hosting the next show, as you usually do.
Talk to you later, guys.
So can I expand on that there, Kevin, if I may?
Which one, the Erik Karlsson thing? Yeah, I mean,
the Erik Karlsson
sure.
thing.
Just,
okay, so.
As long as you don't just reiterate what he said. Sure.
Well, no, actually, I was thinking about it, and it is a very valid point that, you know, if you have Adam Fox on this team, okay, so yeah, the probability of an Erik Karlsson to the Rangers goes down, but there's always a but. Mm-hmm. So you think about it. The Rangers currently have, I don't want to call them dead weight. They're not really dead weight, 'cause they're human beings, you know.
You can call them dead weight. Like,
yeah, but it's a little disingenuous to say that, because, you know, they, you know, at the end of the day, they you know, these two guys really try hard, you know. So let's say draft time comes, and this is right before free agency period, and you all of a sudden you decide to ship out Mark Stahl, Brendan Smith, Kevin Shattenkirk. Okay,
if you can.
So now you're left with,
you can do it.
It's possible. It's entirely possible that all three of those guys are gone. Whether it's a buyout or the draft.
The only problem with that one is that Mark Stahl has to waive his no-moving clause. but the other two can be traded.
So let's just say two out of the three get traded. Okay.
Okay.
Let's just say two out of the three get moved. Okay. So now you're essentially looking at a decor that doesn't really have a strong veteran defensive anchor to it, and more than likely
it got rid of $10 million.
Exactly. So if you think about it, Gordon has stated that he doesn't want to just throw the youth out there, which is a fine plan if you're trying to win a cup within the next 5 years. This team's trying to win a cup within the next three, or at least build a team that can contend for it within the next three, and with the second overall pick and with the getting of Fox.
Which is starting to look like.
It's starting to look like this is going to happen. The Rangers will be back in it sooner rather than later. And, you know, I get fever dreams just watching the playoffs, thinking about New York back in it, even though they've only been out of it for 2 years. But, you know, you're so used to them being here every year. But anyway.
I understand. I feel the same way.
So, you know, if you think about it, let's say they move Mark Stahl. Mark Stahl played almost every game for this team last season. And you know David mm-hmm. Quinn. Everybody knows David Quinn relies on his veterans very well. He relies on them way too much, sometimes to a fault, depending on who it is. So let's say Gordon ends up moving a Shattenkirk, a Smith, or a Shattenkirk. So all three of those guys are
potential. Shattenkirk.
Yes, yeah, sorry. Stahl, Shattenkirk, and Smith. It's just, you know, all the S's kind of confuse me, and I'm trying to really.
And then there's Shea, too. Sorry, I'm surprised you didn't say that.
Yeah,
too.
No, Brady Shea, he's, you know. To much dismay,
no,
to another one of our contributors,
he's
you know.
25, so.
Yeah, so also we forgot to mention that Ryan Lindgren is also one of the prospects on this team, and I think he's going to be on this team next season. But anyways, that's another discussion for another day.
And
Igor
Rykov,
see, the embarrassment of riches. Look at
it's
that.
A lot.
So,
I'm sorry to cut you off, but the fact that the Rangers had no defense like 2 years ago. And now they have – we literally forgot about how many good prospects they had is just mind-boggling because I never thought we'd be in this situation. But go on. Sorry.
Exactly. So you guys made the point of prospects, okay? So if we're trying to – if they're trying to rebuild this team and accelerate the team – you know, the team's progress, you need guys who can still play at a high level but also know this league very well. And –
mm-hmm.
If they end up making a trade like that, you're not just going to throw these guys out on the ice without any experience. You have to get a guy who can be the anchor for a lot of these younger guys. And if they end up signing Erik Karlsson and they end up signing Artemi Panarin, let's just say in a dream world that I continuously live in until it eventually happens, you know, they need somebody to help move them. And what better player? Let's say here the Rangers go bold and they trade Mark Stahl and Brendan Smith gets bought out, okay? Kevin Shattenkirk is still here, and they need another guy on the defense. You get a guy like Erik Karlsson. What better player to teach the youth, the young defensemen on this team, than an Erik Karlsson? Now, if you get a Karlsson, that puts him on the first pair immediately. You pop another defenseman there with him. So now that gives a lot of the younger guys to kind of find their way as they play. Find their way on the ice, second, third pair, play against second and third lines, and as they play, they become better and they progress. That's how you're supposed to do it. That's how Ryan McDonough was weeded into the NHL when the Rangers called him up from Hartford. That's how it happened with Brady Shea. The problem is that when you just throw these young guys into the Wolves and they start playing against first pair players, you got guys like Neil Pionk trying to defend Alex Ovechkin, and what are you going to get? Ovi clap bombs from the corner. I hate to say it, it's not a knock against Neil Pionk, but he's 23 years old and he's not a first pair defenseman. So at the end of the day, if you're trying to put together a team, the Rangers say they're not just going to throw all the youth out there and see what happens. They have to supplement it with something. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that Shattenkirk, Stahl, or Smith get dealt, and they could still sign Erik Karlsson because you'll end up probably having the cap for it. So
that's what I said. It's
kind of rebuttal to that.
You brought it back home, which is a great point. But as much, then you have these contract situations, you know, 3-4 years down the line, which, you know, could be a big problem because you have guys like Chris Kreider, Vlad Nemestikov, Ryan Strome, Jimmy Vesey, Jesper Fast. I mean, Boone Nieves to a certain extent. It all depends because all of these guys, all of these like veterans that I guess they want, you know, I don't want to say that they're the core, but I guess the only two people that are left of the core are Jesper Fast and Chris Kreider. It's like you can't get rid of that, but at the same time, you're not going to sign Kreider to a 7-year deal. You're not signing him for $6.57
No,
million.
Absolutely not. No,
You
absolutely
can't,
not. I
especially
think.
if you're going to say you're rebuilding. If
Yeah.
Kreider wants to take a hometown discount, I am all for it. I love Chris Kreider. I think he's one of the best power forwards in the game. But
Absolutely. I agree. It's just,
he's got the size, he's got the speed, and I feel like he really figured out his game this year under Quinn, and I think he could do wonders. It's just they need to trade
Well,
him.
my.
Like
The, well.
we talked about the article I wrote today, and a lot of people disagreed with me, which is fair because he's a hometown favorite. He's the last of that group. There's no more Matt Zuccarello, so you got to cling to somebody. And Chris Kreider is that guy. He's a likable guy, but it's not realistic. And the amount of prospects or picks you can get, I mentioned that Milan Lucic is a prime example for this because to compare, because when the Bruins traded him to the Kings, he was the same exact age. He shoots the same way. He's almost the exact same size, give or take 5 or 10 pounds. He had about the same point total as Kreider did when he got traded. And it's just, he got a first. He got the pick who would they got the pick who would eventually become Martin Jones, and they got the pick who would eventually become it's escaping me, but I think it's Colin Miller for Vegas. And it's just, these are the realms of possibilities that you can get out of here. So, it's just a tough situation because you want to keep Kreider. You want to keep all of the guys that you have. But if you do sign Panarin, it's a big if, when Kapokako comes or even Jack Hughes, who knows what the Devils are going to do, Vitali Kratsov is coming over. And then you have some of these guys that have been playing well that, that get lost in this shuffle of all these good prospects that could make the team. So it's just, you re-sign Brendan Lemieux, Brett Howden, Elias Anderson, and Philip Hedo come back into form. Pavel Buchnevich keeps building on the year that he had this year. It's just the lineup gets crowded, and why would you pay this guy like in 2 years $7 million to rot on the third line? It's going to be a Milan Lucic scenario in Edmonton, and we don't want to be Edmonton. So it's just a fine line that Jeff Gordon has to walk with, having veterans or having the youth under his belt. It's a very, very, I don't want to say careful, but it's a very, fine line.
It's walking a fine line. It's walking a very thin line.
Yeah.
I see what you mean by that. But
I can't come up with the word. It's a dire situation.
I know what you mean. I'm sure people who are listening will understand what you're talking about. But, the thing is, okay, so I'm in the camp of I'd like to keep him. Because I still think he could be a valuable asset to this team, and he's not a geriatric in terms of hockey terms as of yet. But it's all dependent on whether what the Rangers can get in return for him. And I think somebody, I think it might have been in our chat or it might have been somewhere. I was reading something and it was talking about the room, and people fail to understand how important that is to a winning ball club, because you can just throw things at a team and see if it sticks. But there needs to be something there that is kind of like a let's say a holdover, so to speak. And not to say that any of the newer guys can't do that, but Chris Kreider's been here for a very long time. And when you're building a team, now I understand you bring up Milan Lucic, okay, which is it's a fair comparison, because yes, they were at similar age, similar point totals, but you have to look at it this way too. It's a different skill set. The player is a different
skill set.
He's a different type of player, and Kreider hasn't had Lucic has had lower body injuries, and it's kind of slowed him down, and it's kind of hurt his play a little bit. Chris Kreider, on the other hand, yeah, he's had some injuries here and there, but nothing has ever really gotten him to the point where he's become almost immobile. You look at the way he performed. You look at the way he performed in Quinn's new system, and he was absolutely phenomenal. And people were getting on him at the end of the season because he wasn't producing at the way he should have been producing at the beginning of the season. But you have to remember, he was sidelined with a lower body injury. And for a guy whose game is solely focused on speed and, the cycling and the strong movements on the ice, he wasn't 100%. These guys don't play at 100% sometimes. People have to realize that. Two seasons ago when Brady Shea was awful to start the season, and even previously just looked awful out there, he wasn't the same. He was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can make the same argument about like Kevin Shattenkirk last year.
Yeah,
what,
same thing
I forgot
for
what he had. Was it a knee injury? Or
he had
was
a
like
it was a meniscus problem in his knee.
Meniscus problem, but like
you, yeah, he had
not
the meniscus problem in his knee.
You can still play if it's the playoffs. Ryan McDonough played with a broken ankle last year.
Yeah.
Ryan McDonough's played with so many broken bones when he played for the Rangers at the playoffs.
Yeah,
these guys
and,
don't
but,
care.
Yeah, and
but
and,
at
know,
a point, especially in the middle of the season, if you are hurt, especially like you said, Kreider, who relies on his speed, there's going to be a significant drop-off in play. And, that's why it's iffy again, re-signing Chris Kreider, because if his game is solely based on speed and being that power forward in front, he can become a fourth-line player extremely fast.
Exactly.
I mean,
the point that I'm trying to make, though,
if its speed is gone.
The point that I'm trying to make, though, is that he's not – when we're talking about the room and you're talking about the cohesiveness of this team, Kreider seems to have he seemed to have included himself very strongly within the dynamic of this team. And, again, like I said, people don't realize how important that is. So now you look at that. And again, this is not a total I'm not totally advocating that you give him the Brinks truck because, again, they need to assess his worth. He's at a certain age where he's not going to demand like a Panarin-type contract because he's not the type of player Panarin is, and he's not going to get, it's strange. He's not going to command – he's like in the middle of commanding a big contract and – getting a decent contract or a decent return from a trade. So I think best case scenario for this team is they sign him to a team-friendly deal. He decides, okay, well, I'm going to take it and stay here and help this team out. And then kind of slowly, transition to a lower tier forward, third, fourth line, still playing at his level of play. But if that doesn't happen and he wants to make bank, well, you know what? I'm sorry. The Rangers are going to have to try and get something for him.
Yeah.
I'm in the camp that he should be here.
This is the problem with bridge deals, though. This is all about why this was just. He's in the prime of his career. You can make that argument. So it's either you extend him, which is a terrible idea, or you wait and you don't trade him, which is a terrible idea, or you trade him at the deadline, which you could get more than getting it now. But he's not Matt Zuccarello. He's not a playmaker where you just get thrown into a random pile of guys and just score points. Chris Kreider needs to have set plays with people. You see all the time those long stretch passes from the Rangers end all the way to Kreider, who's bolting up to the front, to the middle of the ice, and he scores with nobody next to him. It's not that easy. He can sit in front of the net all he wants, but it's just he's that type of player to, rely on others because he's the goal scorer. And Matt Zuccarello wasn't, and that's why we could potentially get two first-round picks for him. But, you have to sell high when you can sell high. And, with a lot of players on the board in free agency this year, it's not unrealistic that you sign two of them or three of them.
No, I agree. Depending on
who it is. And then you can also make the case you could trade Vladimir Mistikov, you could trade Jimmy Vesey.
Well, it's already the assumption that they're going to get traded anyway.
You could see Brian Strome, who has an RFA at the end of 2 years. It's a toss up now. It all really depends what happens after the draft and the first day of free agency.
With the way this team is operating right now, you don't really know what's going on, so you can't really make like a bold prediction. And with the asset management so far, it seems like they're on the right track. So we'll just have to wait and see what happens.
Yeah, no, you really just have to wait and see, which is who knows. It's tough. It's nice to imagine the best part about all this, everything fitting together, all these young guys just like somehow seamlessly, fitting together like puzzle pieces. And then you think about, well, what happens when they all need new deals? Then you start to worry. Then you have all this problem that you have to worry about. And it's just, you know, you want them to do good, but you don't want them to do too good, so you can save
exactly.
some money on them. It's such a double-edged sword, man. It really is.
Now,
they have to be good just in a specific amount of time.
Now, before anything, let's recap the last two series of the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Wow, you read my mind.
Yeah, we kind of skipped that when Russ came in. We had to fit him in before he left.
I thought he wanted to talk about Dallas.
Yeah. But go ahead.
Okay, so San Jose at Colorado tonight. End of the first, 0-0. Like, that matters. I mean, you're going to listen to this tomorrow after you find out what it's going to be. San Jose last series, I thought, was being tested a lot more than they are in this series. I feel like that Colorado has a lot better, balanced their lineup, but San Jose is just firing on all cylinders. They're coming off of that huge Game 7 win, and they're still kind of riding that momentum. If they win tonight in Colorado, I really see them taking Game 5 back in San Jose. And
absolutely.
I just think this is it. This is ride or die for them right now. You can make that case how they're kind of like Columbus, where, you know, they're going to lose a big piece of their team, and then they have to re-sign some guys. It's just, you know, they don't have that much cap space. I just looked. They have like $300,000 left in cap space, and that's not even
talk about being
able
up
to find one
wall.
Guy. It's not going to be wrong. Like,
yeah.
You know, Eric Carlson's gone after this year, but, you know, you need to replace some of your RFAs. You know, some of these guys who have been playing like fantastic for them, you know, Timo Meier is up at the end of this year. You know, you have a lot of RFAs. Joe Pavelski, you're like, what do you do with your captain? Do you re-sign him? He's 34. Like, do you, like, as much as you love Jumbo Joe, do you re-sign him? It's such a hard decision for them. But let me ask you this. Carolina versus New York Islanders tomorrow. Do you see Carolina sweeping? Do you see Carolina completing the reverse sweep on the New York Islanders? Well, I guess it's not really a reverse sweep. I'm only saying that because they've swept the Islanders swept the Penguins. So do you see, you know, the Islanders not coming out with a win this series?
No,
do you think they somehow pull string one together?
No. This series is ending in 4 or 5. Come on. I'm not going to sit here and pretend I'm Nostradamus and predict everything, but
yeah.
I'm just going to say this. I was telling this to a lot of people in terms of that series. They didn't get challenged by the Penguins. I'm sorry. Yeah, okay, the Islanders won 4 games. Great, big whoop, okay? And I'm not trying to just say this because, we're Ranger fans, but, you know, I know when a team doesn't get challenged, and I'm watching the way the Penguins are playing. The Rangers, for goodness sake, beat them at the end of the season, you know?
Yeah.
They just made them look foolish. It just, that team wasn't well put together, you know? They just kind of made it because everyone else seemed to have dropped off outside of Pittsburgh, Columbus, and the New York Islanders. If any of the other teams had been somewhat competitive, then, you know, the Pittsburgh would have fallen out of it. And there were certain times throughout the season where Pittsburgh wasn't in the hunt. They got hot at the right time.
Yeah, no, they were.
And
they were able to at one point.
Yeah, they were below the Rangers at one point, which was great. But anyways, I said this to my father, who's an Islander fan. I said this to a lot of Islander fans on Twitter, people that I know, and I said, your team hasn't been challenged. Your Islanders were just stuffing the Penguins. They were just trying to force it to Crosby and Malkin. Letang didn't do anything. Kessel didn't do anything. And other supplemental pieces didn't do anything. So I said, whomever wins the Washington-Carolina series is going to put a hurt on the Islanders because those two teams are infinitely better than Pittsburgh. And what do you know? Carolina comes out swinging 2 games in the Barclays Center, especially game one or game two. I think it was game one where they won. Was it game one or game two? I'm trying to remember where they won 1-0 in overtime. That was a fun game, even though a couple of our contributors don't necessarily agree with that. But, you know, what the Hurricanes are.
Well, because they don't like defensive matchups,
something
against them. It's just like, I like
no,
to
no, no,
and
they
well,
know,
but,
I agree. Like,
you know,
if
like,
they don't like defensive matchups, then
yesterday's game,
when
I was watching Carolina and the Islanders, like, for a good chunk of it, it was, like, they could, you could say it was sloppy, but it was very well defended. You would see guys
absolutely
poke the puck at perfect times and then join the rush, and it would go back and forth like that. And I thought that was great to see because I was mesmerized. Look, I think we only have, like, half a minute left. So let's just go over this really quick. Like, I agree. The Penguins barely squeaked in. You have to just look at the Eastern Conference. You had the Panthers, the Sabres, the Red Wings, the Senators, the Rangers, the Devils, and the Flyers. And they were all garbage. They were all hot garbage. and the Penguins only got in because of that. So, you know, who's to say? But I think this, I think Carolina, I think San Jose, I think Dallas, I really do. Not just saying as a Rangers fan. And I think,
yeah, no, I agree with you.
And I think Columbus,
I definitely
I think Columbus
agree with
comes
you on
back
that.
And wins it.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I stand by those picks as well. Might be bloody wrong, but oh well. So.
Who knows? Hey, well, time's up and we're still going, so, you know, it's up to you. Do you want to keep going or you want to just give these guys
I think it's time for us to sign off, Kev. I don't know if you want me to do it.
I think you're just tired.
No, no, I could keep going. I mean, what do you want to talk about? Furries? You want to talk about cars? You know?
No,
you want to
Mets?
We could have
went in
what do you
want to
talk about?
With the playoffs, we could talk about how, you know, who's the biggest commodity on the Rangers to trade right now. Anything, but you know, we can save it. The draft is still
let's not put all of our marbles.
We don't
want to
blow our
bowl.
Load all right now.
Yeah, and I don't know if that's an expression or not, but let's not do that. Let's keep the fans waiting.
No matter, you don't want to do that ever.
No. So.
No.
All right. Well, I guess you want to sign us out, Kev?
Yes. Thank you for listening. This has been Kevin Krupe, the Space Earthbender himself, along with John Luke Shapiro. And Russell Hartman, thank you for coming on in your time of, I guess it was a retreat to him. He's like, you know, a nice time away in upstate. That's nice for him. But, you know, thanks to everybody. Thanks for Forever Blue Shirts for letting us do this. Thanks for Ant for Forever Blue Shirts, because without him, none of this would be possible. Thanks for the fans. I know I'm going to keep putting out articles. Please comment without reading them. I love it. It makes me feel so much better about myself. Somebody called it clickbait today, which I think that's the best compliment, because I got you to look at it and say, wow, this is such a ridiculous take. It's clickbait. So,
you've
you know,
done your job.
Who's to know? Who's to know? Thank you, and let's go Rangers.
All right. Thanks, guys.